Hello, as Dan said, my name's Becky. I'm coming to you from my kitchen here in what's not so sunny Blyth this morning. I've been a member of Hope Church for two and a half years now, and as Dan said, it's the first time they've asked me to preach to you. So here goes. They've asked me to preach on Acts, Acts 20, verse 17 to 38. So it's the point where Paul is talking to the Ephesian elders. So let's set the scene. Paul's been on his third missionary journey to start new churches across the known world. He's planted churches everywhere he possibly could. He's traveled extensively through Southeast Europe and parts of Southwest Asia, including parts of the Middle East. On this last journey, Paul knows that he has to return to Jerusalem, and God has a plan for him there. But the Holy Spirit has warned him and many people around him that this plan includes prison and hardship. He knows he must go and prepares for the worst, not knowing if this hardship is going to include death. Paul takes the opportunity one last time to talk to the elders of a church that is close to his heart. He spent a little over 3.5 years with them. This church is in Ephesus. He's been teaching them and he's been living with them. He decides not to go to Ephesus to talk to them. Last time he didn't escape for 3 years. And he's in a hurry to fulfill God's request for him to return to Jerusalem. He needed only to speak, pardon me, he needed only to speak to the church elders, not be part of a huge church family reunion. So he's decided to sail to Miletus, or Miletus even, 50 miles from Ephesus, close enough for the church leaders to travel to, but far enough away to discourage anyone else joining them. This is an interesting passage, as Paul is talking exclusively to Christians. Not just that, but he's talking to Christians in church leadership. So, like me, you're probably thinking to yourself, as I'm not a Christian in leadership, what on earth has this passage got to teach me? And the answer surprised me as I looked into it because it seems to teach us quite a lot. Regardless of our position within the church, we're all involved in mission at some level. So this passage has relevance to all of us. So I'm going to start off reading the passage, but we'll stop at a point along the way to explain a few things. So, Acts chapter 20. Starting at verse 17. From Miletus, Paul sent to Ephesus for the elders of the church. When they arrived, he said to them, "You know how I lived with, sorry, and you know how I lived the whole time I was with you. From the first day I came into the province of Asia, I served the Lord with great humility and with tears, and in the midst of severe testing by the plots of my Jewish opponents. You know that I have not hesitated to preach anything that would be helpful to you, but have taught you publicly and from house to house. I have declared to both Jews and Greeks that they must turn to God in repentance and have faith in our Lord Jesus. And now, compelled by the Spirit, I'm going to Jerusalem, not knowing what will happen to me there. I also know that in every city, the Holy Spirit warns me that prison and hardship are facing me. However, I consider my life worth nothing to me. My only aim is to finish the race and complete the task the Lord Jesus has given me, the task of testifying to the good news of God's grace." So, here we have things I just want to clarify. If I could see your faces and we were in East Bedlington Community Centre, I might have skipped this bit, but as I don't even know if anyone's listening. And if anyone is that hasn't hung around a church much or knows much about the church, about Christians or the Bible, I feel the need to explain the word gospel, which might be in your version, I know it is in some, or good news, as it is in this version that I've been reading. So what is this good news, this gospel? What's Paul talking about? He mentioned this two different ways so far, and we've only got halfway through the passage. So it must be important. Paul talks about declaring to the Jews and the Greeks that they must turn to God in repentance and have faith in our Lord Jesus, and then about the task of testifying to the good news of God's grace. So what does this mean? Simply put, it means that we have done bad things in our lives. These bad things get in the way of us having a relationship with our Creator God. God sent His Son Jesus into the world to teach us about God and to take the bad things we have done away from us, taking punishment for them onto Himself by dying in our place, allowing us to have a relationship with God. In dying, He took our faults, all our failures, all the wrong we've done, and He bought our forgiveness. If we accept these free gifts that Jesus offers us, believe in Him and repent, which means turn back on our old life and the wrong we've done, we can have freedom to live life, a new life. We have a new start and an eternal life. All we have to do is accept it. This is the gospel Paul is talking about here. If this idea is new to you, or you want to talk to someone about it, then as Den said, please join the after church chat or direct message Hope Church Bedlington. One of our church leaders will be happy to talk to you about it. So let's move on. We're going back a bit and then going to read the rest of the passage. So from verse 19, I served the Lord with great humility and with tears, and in the midst of severe testing by the plots of my Jewish opponents. You know that I have not hesitated to preach anything that would be helpful to you, but I have taught you publicly and from house to house. I have declared to both Jews and Greeks that they must turn to God in repentance and have faith in our Lord Jesus. And now, compelled by the Spirit, I am going to Jerusalem, not knowing what will happen to me there. I only know that in every city, the Holy Spirit warns me that prison and hardship are facing me. However, I consider my life worth nothing to me. My only aim is to finish the race and complete the task the Lord Jesus has given me, the task of testifying to the good news of God's grace. Now, I know that none of you among whom I have gone about preaching the kingdom will ever see me again. Therefore, I declare to you today that I am innocent of the blood of any of you, for I have not hesitated to proclaim to you the whole will of God. Keep watch over yourselves and all the flock of which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers. Be shepherds of the church of God, which He bought with His own blood. I know that after I leave, savage wolves will come in among you and will not spare the flock. Even from your own number, men will arise and distort the truth in order to draw away disciples after them. So be on your guard. Remember that for 3 years I never stopped warning each of you night and day with tears. Now I commit you to God and the word of His grace, which can build you up and give you an inheritance among all those who are sanctified. I have not coveted anyone's silver or gold or clothing. You yourselves know that with these hands of mine, I have supplied my own needs and the needs of my companions. In everything I did, I showed you that by this kind of hard work we must help the weak. Remembering the words of the Lord Jesus himself, it is more blessed to give than to receive. When Paul had finished speaking, he knelt down with all of them and prayed. They all wept as they embraced him and kissed him. What grieved them most was the statement that they would never see his face again. Then they accompanied him to the ship. So, Paul is modelling here how to live, how to serve and how to lead in this passage. He isn't boasting in this passage. He's demonstrating to them with words what he showed them in actions while he lived among them. Paul wants them to know that humility and boldness are important characteristics of Christians. He talks about serving the Lord with great humility, and this is so important for what is to come. He knows that without the right motives, people can go astray. He knows that any one of them has the potential to lead the church in the wrong direction. And that is why he's warning them against people rising up like wolves, taking the church members along with them in the wrong directions. Relying on their own ability and thinking that they know it all is dangerous. Humility is key. Relying on Jesus, his teaching, and the Holy Spirit's guidance for their lives and the life of the church. Paul talks about not hesitating to preach. He says it twice in this passage, taking every opportunity to talk about God to other people. He says he taught publicly and from house to house, so both speaking in public and in private. I know I'm extremely hesitant to preach the gospel. I didn't really particularly want to start preaching at all, not only publicly like this, but also privately. Until recently, I've been in places where there are lots of Christians. When a discussion turned to religion, I've been able to duck and let other Christians field the answers. I've been able to let them take the flak from the atheists I work with. Not that I kept my faith secret, just that I could get away with not raising my head above the parapet, getting involved and not facing possible ridicule. Paul in this passage says that he considers his life worth nothing to him. His only aim is to finish the race, to complete the task the Lord Jesus has given him, the task of testifying to the good news of God's grace. Now, it would be trite of me to say that this is how we should all see ourselves and our lives, and expect everyone listening to be able to just do this. But I know from personal experience that seeing the gospel of Jesus as more important than my own life is not an easy thing. I'm still very much a work in progress on this score. It is, however, important that we as Christians see ourselves as having this mission. It may not be to preach like I am today, or go from house to house telling people about Jesus. But Paul talks in this passage as an example. It's important that we live our lives as Jesus did. That we love people. Showing the gifts of the Spirit that Matt talked about last week. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, and faithfulness and control. In this passage, Paul quotes Jesus as saying, it is better to give than to receive. And by our actions, looking out for others, we can be witnesses to the gospel of Jesus. By praying for people, for their situations, we can be witnesses to Jesus and how he loves us. Paul talks about weeping a lot in this passage. This is not Paul being a crybaby. But when we spend time with God, seeking what he has for our lives, our hearts are softened to the plight of those around us. We feel greater empathy for those living in poverty, those living with violence, those imprisoned, those with mental health issues, those who are sick. Our hearts break for people in the same way God's heart breaks for them. As witnesses to the good news, our lives should speak as well as our mouths. We should be willing to talk to people about Jesus, taking opportunities to do so as they come up. But we should also be praying for people and actively helping people in need. I've been so blessed in my life, by people who helped me out when we've been struggling. And now that I'm not struggling, it's time for me to start doing the same for others. It could just be a phone call, a text message, an email. It could be a gift of money, food, clothes, something else. So, having preached to myself for a bit, I'd like to leave you with a few questions to consider over the next few weeks. Firstly, who has God put on your heart to be praying for? This could be a single person. It could be a whole community. It might be your next door neighbour or someone you work with. It might be someone you share a hobby with, someone from the local football team. It could be a whole community. It could be the local school, Bedlington Academy. It could be, or whichever school that you're linked with. It could be your workplace. It could be the football team. But who is it that God has put on your heart to be praying for? What could you be doing to demonstrate the love of Jesus to them? It might be money. It might be just those text messages. It could be an email. It could be a phone call. It might be food, you know, just taking a meal round to somebody's house. It could be looking after them while we're in this pandemic, making sure that they've got the medication that they need. But what is it that you could be doing to demonstrate the love of Jesus to people? Thirdly, are you praying for opportunities to talk about Jesus? And are you taking these opportunities when they come up? I know I find this really hard. But praying for those opportunities is really important, and taking them, but also praying that God will help you to answer any questions, to take those opportunities to speak to people about your faith. And lastly, for those of you who don't yet know Jesus, are you willing to accept the freedom and forgiveness that comes from knowing Jesus and having your failures become history no longer defines you? If that is you, please contact us, come to the After Church chat, or if you're watching it on recording, message us on Messenger from Hope Church Bedlington, or speak to your local church if you're living far away and would rather do that. But please talk to somebody, find out more. Thank you. And now back to Dennis.